Hello, Sarah. Welcome to Brain Candy Podcast, episode 626.
Woo! I like that number so much.
I knew you would.
All those colors go nicely together.
And it's a palindrome.
Springtime. Yeah.
Did you say springtime?
Yeah, because the colors are like light purple and yellow.
Right.
You know,
of course, 66. Of course they are.
I took that test again because I was like, maybe I'm not.
And then they're like, you no, thought you were making up your own, like, synesthesia?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. Maybe I don't have it as
that's great.
Bad as I think I do. Took the test again. They were off the charts. They were like,
really?
Yeah, most people score within, if you have synesthesia, you'll score an app between 50 and 90. And I scored like 99.8.
It seems like if you have that, there's no debate about whether you have it.
I think some people have it stronger than others. Like
I can,
so how they do it is they show you the number. And then you pick on this, you know, like the wheel that, mm-hmm. that of colors.
The color wheel?
And, yeah, but like it, there's not the division between the colors. It's not like, it's just a
spectrum.
Spectrum. You have the spectrum, whole spectrum to pick from. Gradation, like the whole thing. You have all the colors.
All of them.
And all of them. And you have to pick the exact shade, like the shade that it is.
Okay.
And then they will ask you again
right.
to do it.
You can't bullshit.
Yeah. And how close you are to that shade. And there is a feeling that I get in my body when it's right.
That's weird.
It's like a wave, like a tingly, like satisfaction. And when it's even a one pixel off or whatever, not, you know, like one color thing, whatever the fuck it's called. I'm like, not right.
Wow.
So I'm able to pick like the exact color off of that spectrum again. I think that is the part that gets me the higher scores.
What
and then they flash
superpower.
Them in front of you, the number, and they'll flash like a 3, but it'll be green and you have to say yes or no if that's
wow.
your color. And the speed, the faster you do it. And it's so easy. I'm like, no, that's not right because 3 is obviously blue. So.
Wow. I mean,
that.
I believed you already. I think we all did.
It's just fun to, like, you know, take a test that I know I'm
going
to score 100%
right.
on every now and then. I think
that
that's it.
Right up your alley.
That's, like, right up my alley.
A guaranteed perfect score
yep.
for Sarah.
Yes. Still got it.
How, like, you guys don't know this, but pretty much every week when we get on the phone before we start recording, I somehow make Sarah cry. It is terrible.
It's not hard.
Okay, that is true.
Yeah.
That is true. It's a low bar, but still, I'm supposed to, I want to bring you joy.
You do. You bring me through the emotions that then free up space for joy.
Oh my God. Like,
you know?
I'm the person that makes it your life bad, so then you
no,
know when you're happy.
That's not it. I think it's that you are the person that I feel safest with and most comfortable opening up to and sharing with, so I like... And I don't talk to anybody else. Like, I'm just like a weird hermit.
Weird hermit. You are not. Yeah. You're always camping.
Well, yeah, like a weird hermit.
They do that?
I don't know. Like out in the woods by themselves. But I'm not by myself. I'm with Eli. So
that's true.
It's the best. Yeah. It's great. I've been going out and you know, we're having these like weekend getaways where we'll just like throw everything in the truck at like, you know, after my last session on Friday night and then get back on Sunday evening. And this is so much fun and so good for my mental health and, like, really, really good for me to be outside. Like,
yeah.
It helps me so much.
But
does
like,
not, however, help with getting the regular chores and shit like that that you're supposed to do on a Sunday done.
Yes.
So I currently have a half-painted bathroom.
Right.
A pile of laundry. Recycling from a couple weeks that needs to
go
out.
Yeah, life really piles up. I know that feeling.
So
here's what
like,
I want to know, though, about these camping trips.
Yes, yes.
What is the cuisine like a lot of baked
so
beans
good.
Or?
No. Oh, my God. Eli's an amazing, amazing chef.
So
and
you guys pack up a cooler of what?
Yes. Okay, last time we had arroz con pollo. And he did sweet potato, onion, and poblano pepper hash
That's
with
nice.
tomatoes and chicken, like, you know, tomatoes, like stewed in chicken or chicken stewed in tomatoes, whatever, and cooked down, and then some instant rice, and you just pour that all over, and then some, beans. It's black beans. So you were right with that.
Well, beans.
Yeah, beans.
Okay, it's like proper movie Western campfire.
Totally. And he's like all about the campfire cuisine and like
campfire cuisine.
In the same way that it's almost hard to like hand over the old cast iron skillet.
Remember when the Brady Bunch camped in the Grand Canyon and then Bobby and Cindy got lost and they met this Native American named Jimmy Pacaya and they had like baked beans in their flashlight that they had to live off while they were lost.
Yes.
That's all.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Do you ever meet any Jimmy Pacaya types?
Not so much.
That would be awesome.
This weekend we went to Wyoming.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah, we just got in the car and took off and just 3-hour drive.
Wow.
Is amazing campsites in the Glendoe Reservoir.
That's amazing.
And Glendoe State Park up in Wyoming. That it's just so fun to have access to such different,
yeah,
like, I don't know, terrain, for lack of a better word. Like,
yeah.
We to go camping in the mountains and then sometimes on the lake and then sometimes by the river and then sometimes, like, you know, it's just like this was like almost like beach camping with sand because it was like at this huge reservoir and we went paddle boarding and like there are fish just jumping out of the water at sunset catching bugs. It's so fun.
That is nice.
And it was so cool. And like I saw bobcat and moose and deer and this crazy antelope thing that was like hopping like nothing I've ever seen. I was like, "What? Where are we right now?" It was so cool. Just animals everywhere. It's amazing. And you just wake up to the sound of like birds chirping and it's the best. And I thought it was real fun that on the same day that I woke up in a tent, you posted a picture of your family waking up in a tent.
Yeah.
And I was like, everybody's camping except Susie.
As it should be.
As it should be.
Yes. Everyone was happy. Yes. Theirs was not as rustic as yours, for sure. No. But I think they had a fun time.
Yes.
They snuggled all night.
Oh.
And it was just real cute. I thought it was perfect for Father's Day weekend for them to do
Yes.
that.
Yes. Oh, that's adorable.
But I was not even tempted for a minute. It wasn't like I was like, maybe I should. No, I didn't even. That thought did not even cross my
mind.
What's
the part of it that you don't, that you're like, no, not for me?
Every part of it.
Every part of it.
There is absolutely no reason for me to do that.
Is it like I'll get a better night's sleep in my own bed kind of thing?
That. And, you know, you don't know the temperature. You might be cold. You might be hot. You might meet a bear. You might have to go to the bathroom and then
does suck.
Yeah, it's every single part of it is less enjoyable than inside my home.
I do think that there is something very freeing about peeing outside and going to the bathroom outside. And another thing I've discovered I love, I think I mean, I wasn't like naked in the woods, but when we were paddleboarding, there was like nobody out there. I'm like, I'm definitely taking my top off.
You did?
Oh, yeah. There's nobody for like nobody for a quarter mile.
But what is the point? What were you trying to do?
To get no tan lines.
Okay.
And like, you know, free the nip. It felt so good. I was like, yeah. Topless on the paddleboard. Just like, because we were just like laying out on the paddleboard in the middle of the lake.
Oh, okay. Were you laying or were you paddling?
Laying down.
That I can understand.
Yeah. Laying down, topless, like. It feels so good.
Do you think you would be as inclined to do that if you had big melons?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't know about that big melon life.
Yeah,
to me,
right.
It feels very like fine that I'm without a top or bra or whatever. Because like, what are we covering up here? What are we even holding?
I hear you.
It's not holding anything up either. There's no curve. There's no nothing.
That is a good point.
It's just a piece of fabric to cover my nipples. That's it.
Yeah, right.
What is it doing?
Okay.
And then at that point, it's for other people, not me, right?
Yeah. Fuck those guys.
Fuck those guys. Free the nip.
no matter what, though, I mean, no matter what you're wearing, I think it is necessary to have great footwear, and that's why I recommend Brothy's.
Oh, my gosh. Obviously.
Obviously. I was just thinking about my Brothy's. I mean, I think about them every day because I put them on every day. But I was thinking about how there are very few companies that have a product that is actually designed to last a really, really long time.
Correct.
Like, it would actually be in Brothy's kind of like business model's best interest to make a crappier shoe.
Because yeah, then I have to replace it. I've never replaced the original ones that we got.
Me neither.
The ones
and
that
I got
because you had the cute tan ones, the beige like slip-ons, and I had to get them too. I just washed them. They're actually in the washing machine right now.
Yeah. You wash them. So then you don't have to replace them. It really is good for the environment. A lot of these companies say they're sustainable when, you know, it's kind of just like greenwashing. This is legit. They're made out of plastic. You can wash them. They become good as new. The cost per wear is insane.
They
have so many colors, so many styles. It's just one of my favorite companies ever.
Yeah.
Check them out. Your new favorite shoes are waiting. Discover the versatile styles you can wear absolutely anywhere and get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/braincandy. That's rothys.com/braincandy for $20 off your first order. So
and
you don't
have
to wear a bra.
They made the drivers for women now.
What do you mean drivers? Oh, you mean driving mocks?
I love these kind of shoes.
Driving mocks, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, I got a pair.
What? They came out with the sneaker in green? I may or may not be on the
I love when you shop while we're recording.
I know, because then you get me, because I'm like,
I know.
What? There's probably new colors.
Yeah.
And then I want these in red and in, oh, God, I need
these.
They're
all great.
Oh, my God. Those look so good.
I'm telling you.
Okay. I want those drivers now.
See? Sarah is one thing we know about Sarah. She does not lie.
This is true.
That,
I don't. I can't.
If she says something's good, it's good. Okay.
This is true.
One thing I thought was funny. I mean, it's actually kind of sad, but...
A lot of funny things are.
Did you read about the famous, gigantic, floating restaurant in Hong Kong that capsized?
Oh, no. But it kind of feels like it was, like, I don't want to say a matter of time, but, like, what do you mean, like, floating?
Well, during the pandemic, they went out of business, okay? So nobody was harmed or anything, okay? But they decided to, like, take it away from wherever it was docked. I don't know where they were going to take it, but in the meantime, it capsized, and I just
when
think
you say it, what are we? Are we just talking about a boat here,
or is it's like a boat technically, but it is humongous, like almost like a cruise ship size.
Okay.
And it's a floating restaurant, and it was really popular for years and years, but went out of business during COVID. And I just think it's super funny that like this. Seafood restaurant is now stuck at the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, that is funny.
Like, that's perfect irony.
It really is. I hope all those little fish are swimming by like...
Yeah, fuck you.
Fuck you. Oh,
for real.
Oh, all you can eat sushi buffet? Well, I'll show you.
For real.
Yeah.
But
and now they that thing becomes the... Somehow, like, the food for the fish, because it's, like, they're, like, growing barnacles on it now.
Full circle.
Yeah. They're, like, reclaiming it back into the ocean.
We are weird. Humans are so weird. Why do we even want a floating restaurant?
There's a lot of I feel the same way about the spinning restaurants in high places.
Oh.
I do not need to be oscillating while I'm eating.
But it is nice to have like a view that keeps changing.
Is it though?
I don't know. I've never done it.
I did it once and I was like, it's fun for maybe cocktails, but like,
yeah.
To me, like.
Does it go the whole time or does it like stop and start?
Yeah, the whole time.
Oh, wow. Just keeps on spinning.
Yeah, and I don't know if I imagined that, like if this happened in a movie or if this happened at the restaurant that I went to, but I have a memory, I may have combined a movie with my actual memory of this, but I feel like I have a memory of somebody getting stuck in the
movie
parts.
What do you mean stuck? In the moving parts?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I may need to confirm with the person that I went to this with.
I hope that happened for
because
you.
Because I think that this happened, or it happened in a movie. I cannot remember.
Even if it was in a movie, that's weird.
Yeah.
How would you get stuck in it?
Why would they make that in a movie? Yeah, I think somebody, like, I want to say it was like a little kid or something, got like their dress stuck or something stuck in the moving thing. And it was like...
See, these are bad ideas.
Terrible.
Yeah. We're just asking for it.
Right. I'm still like iffy on escalators, so please.
Well, that, as soon as you said clothes
death
stuck
traps.
In it, that's what I thought. They
yeah,
are
I
death
saw
traps.
A child get their foot stuck in one once. It was traumatic.
Yeah, why do we keep making escalators? They're not
death
a
traps.
Good idea.
Or at least have some kind of like, they're not, they, we need to redesign those. Like, people get their shit stuck in those.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's an irrational fear.
Yeah, why are we in fight or flight mode today?
I don't know, Suze. We're like, oh, definitely don't do that. That's terrifying. Yeah.
We're afraid of stairs.
Right. I told water. Story. Maybe it was because I was telling Susie about my mountain biking adventures and excursions before we started recording.
Yeah,
and
well, I think you're insane. Sarah's gone 3 times and she went on the intermediate course, which is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, you're athletic, but that's just asking for trouble.
Fucking A. It's hard. And I had my first fall. That was.
Tell me about it. Was it over the handlebars or what?
Yes, it was.
No.
Yeah. It was a little, what do they call it? A little end over.
Yeah, right.
end over head or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it wasn't bad, though. I hit my elbow on a rock and then I put my hand down and I cut my hand. And then I got like just a nice bruise on my leg, but it was good. It was a good fall. Like I fell and like I went over the handlebars, but then I just kind of like threw the bike to the side, and it was a pretty solid fall. I did have a moment where I was like, "Holy fuck, did I break something?" And like I got real. It was really painful, but I didn't want to cry or show any of that pain, so I did what my body usually does when I'm experiencing intense
you
emotions.
Didn't.
What did I do?
Vomit. Oh my God, you did. You
puked? I was
puked?
Like, oh God, this really hurts. I think I'm going to puke. And then I threw up. Like everything.
Your puking is absolutely fascinating.
I don't know what's wrong with me, Susie.
Like, I love it. I just don't understand
like
it.
It's not getting better.
No, it isn't.
No. I blame the surgeon who did my...
The surgeon.
Tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy because
yeah,
they like left scar
there.
Tissue, and that makes me feel like I'm choking whenever I get like overheated or like yeah.
I can see that.
Inflammation. Like whenever I feel inflammation, like my heart rate goes up and like or I'm like overheated or that it feels like there's something choking me. Like it feels like I can't swallow.
If you reached back there, could you feel the scar tissue if you wanted to? Try it.
I'll probably throw up if I did.
You won't throw up. Just try it real quick.
Uh-huh. Oh, yep, I can.
You can?
Ah, that's weird. Well, it feels bumpy back there.
Oh, my God.
And it's empty.
That's terrible.
And then, like, you can see it. It's like... I don't know, like the flap over like my epiglottis or something like that. Like there's like a weird, that's what they said when I went and got it. They did a whole test. They like put the little scope down there and they were like, oh yeah, there's some tissue. And they like can go in and shave it off. But what they might, I went through this when I was 21.
What
might happen is that it will come back worse because it's like a keloid scar.
Yeah, don't do that.
Right. So I don't want to do it. And then, so mm-hmm. They're like, you're better off just taking what do they tell me? Taking an antihistamine, taking like a Benadryl to make the inflammation go down.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA.
Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You're like a medical marvel.
What the? I'm like so healthy. Like nothing ever. I never get sick. Nothing. Well, I'm like sick right now, so I can't say that. But like, you know, like I nothing ever. It's just like this thing that's not like you can't do anything about it. It's just there. Yeah. It's just like annoying. It's just
your cross to bear. It's so funny to me.
It's so stupid. It's like nothing.
I love you. You know,
other people have real problems. This is nothing.
Oh, God. Important. All right. Let me talk about other things. You should see my notes for this episode so far. It's like Sarah's throat scars.
Yeah. What the hell? See, this is what happens is that we went from like my therapy session with Susie, and then we just ran it into this session and now, or this episode, and now we've done 20 minutes of continued therapy for Sarah. So enough about me.
In the background. Okay. I read an article in the New York Times. It was about this rapper named Kid Creole from Grandmaster Flash and the Furious mm-hmm. Five way back mm-hmm. in the day, like old mm-hmm. school. Mm-hmm. And they were using his particular situation right now, which is not good, to shine a light on how these guys that invented a genre of music that has defined Black culture for the last 50 years mm-hmm. have kind of gotten screwed. And
tell me more.
Like, because they were just truly kids off the street in New York or whatever, they didn't have a lot of leverage. They didn't have education really or life experience. They were teenagers.
Often taken advantage of by the music industry.
Yeah,
and recording labels.
They were taken advantage of, so they signed these predatory type of contracts. But also, I think that people didn't even know it was going to be a big deal.
Right.
It was just this weird genre that was coming up, and they were going to take advantage of it. But nobody could have predicted what it would become of hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And so when they're... music kind of evolved and changed, and these particular people were no longer the stars of the genre. They couldn't just maybe get a job in the music industry or something cool with their education and life experience. They would become like janitors and stuff. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, they're titans of the music culture. And so in his case, this guy, Kid Creole, he just, you know, was down and out. And he's one of those guys that, like, no matter how bad it got, he always thought, like, maybe I'll get invited on a tour. Like, when the nostalgia stuff started happening, he thought, got you know, it. He always thought around the next corner was going to be, like, his resurgence. Mm-hmm. And he just got put away for 16 years for manslaughter. And when they described what happened, the crime, I mean, he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, essentially. But he got this really tough sentencing. And it just makes me sad because by the time he gets out, he's going to be like 70-something.
Yeah.
And I know that it's totally different from reality TV because we absolutely knew we were signing shitty contracts. Right. Like we were told that, you know, you sign it or they'll pick someone else. These guys didn't know they were signing crappy contracts. But the outcome can be the same where, like, once your 2 seconds of fame is over, like, right. If you don't have something to fall back on, you can get in real trouble.
This feels very similar to professional athletes.
Totally.
This feels like the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when you offer those contracts to kids who are 21, 20,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, never seen that kind of money ever, and it like comes all at once.
And it feels like it's an infinite amount of money.
Right.
Yeah. But it isn't.
And then it just takes like one injury or one season or somebody else coming in and you know, outplaying you or
yeah,
whatever. And then
it can lead
like
to a
we
lot
talk
of substance
about
abuse.
The hardest. Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. For so many reasons.
Yeah.
And one of the hardest things, as we've talked about before, is the cognitive dissonance between the imagined future and the reality of what things are like
mm-hmm.
now. So when you create, like I talk to clients about this, it's almost like we create this white, we have this a whiteboard in our mind, you know, and we start drawing the future on it, like maybe starting in one corner and then we just like, you know, like almost like this roadmap of the future. We start like, oh, and then this is going to happen, then it's going to lead to this, and then we like paint this like or draw this incredible like image of the future that, you know, we've taken so much time to map out and to draw out, and then somebody comes along with an eraser and just erases all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like panicking, like, what? Now it's blank.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I did all that work.
Yeah.
And now it's gone. And that, I think, sends people into a panic.
That's why I loved the low bar lifestyle idea.
Yeah, right.
Because if you keep the bar low, you know, then you can't be let down.
Right. In a way, like it sounds like, I don't know, pessimistic or something like negative, but it's really not. It's the opposite. It's saying, you know,
that you can be happy even with very little.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I love.
Yes, that mm-hmm. by not creating, I don't know, parameters or expectations or these like beliefs of how things should be, we leave so much more mental bandwidth for what could be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's much better.
Well, and a lot of it has to do with just your own perceptions of what is success.
100 million yeah. percent. This is so important to define for ourselves. I've mm-hmm. been having these conversations a lot recently.
Because mm-hmm. if you
what is success? Do you even want that other person's kind of success? Probably not.
Right. Yeah. If you hinge your idea of success on, I don't know, wealth or fame or something,
right.
and then you don't get that, you like almost talk yourself into being disappointed.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like we'd have to say, okay, what is your idea of success as a podcast host? What you will know that you're successful when.
Right.
And then work backwards. Okay, well, like,
yeah,
or like, you'll know you're a successful therapist when, like, and when you can answer that, I feel like it's much easier to recognize the ways that we are all being successful all the mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
Just
but
for
it's,
us.
But it's okay easy to fall for that it. Trap of like letting other people dictate what that word means.
Right. Totally.
For me, it means going downstairs and making some HelloFresh meals.
Oh, gosh. I can't wait. I get mine on Wednesday, and I am in need.
Well, you're in for a real treat.
Oh, good.
They have...
What do you got cooking over there?
Amazing summer recipes on the go. Oh. They had cucumber salad stuffed pita pockets.
Oh, that you know I love a Mediterranean plate?
You do.
This is my favorite thing.
This is so fresh.
Yes.
It was so good. But they have everything, and you can like rearrange it and pick what kind of deal you want. It's like cheaper.
I was able to order it within my dietary constrictions. Restrictions.
Oh my gosh, because now you like can't eat certain foods.
Yeah, I was like, nothing fun.
Sad.
No, I said no chicken and no wheat.
Well, you're going to be so happy because they have a whole Mediterranean menu that they
yes.
released.
Thank you.
Fresh With fruits, fish. Veggies, nuts, olive oils, all that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, it's my favorite. It's the diet we should all be eating.
You can swap out one protein for the other. They have this whole customizable situation going on. You guys are going to love it. If you haven't had it for a while, like maybe you had it years ago but not since, try it again because they have all kinds of new stuff. It's awesome. Go to HelloFresh.com/BrainCandy16 and use code BrainCandy16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/BrainCandy16 and code BrainCandy16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Really nice summer
yes.
menus. You will
yes.
love it. And cheaper than dining out. So
oh, way cheaper. And no food waste.
Yes.
You know how I love that.
So anyway, that just made me sad about the rap pioneers because
yeah.
they're talented and dynamic and yeah. I hope better days are ahead for those guys.
Man.
They
were kids.
Right.
Like so young.
So young, so talented, and like they mm-hmm. had a magical spark.
Yeah.
My God, they created a genre. What more do you
right.
want?
Right. Oh, God, so talented. And they're poets. I mean, come on. You listen to any Tupac lyrics, that's fucking poetry.
Oh, my God. He was something very special.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Am I going to make Susie a 90s hip-hop fan?
Well,
yeah.
that remember when, like, we, on in our documentary club, I picked Grey Gardens, and
right.
some people did not like it. And I was trying to say, like, okay, you don't have to like it, but
right.
what I want you to see is how this particular film created the documentary pathways that we now
mm-hmm.
know. And
mm-hmm.
that it inspired all these other filmmakers, and it informed filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about hip-hop and rap and other
yeah.
genres that I don't really love to listen to all the time, but like you can see the artistry
yeah.
and
yeah.
how important they are culturally. I always want to tap into that.
That's cool.
Even
yeah.
if I'm not like the biggest, you know, Megan
right.
Thee
Same
Stallion
with sports
fan.
Documentaries and all that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, love it.
Okay. There's a little documentary short on The New Yorker. It's 10 minutes long. It's called The Act of Coming Out.
Oh.
And the filmmaker has all these people come in that are queer or trans or whatever. And they're like auditioning. The premise is that they're supposed to be auditioning and that they have to do a scene where they have to come out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that the filmmaker wanted to say was that, you know, you think of coming out as this like one-time thing, but really people have to come out throughout their lives.
Yes.
You know, at different times to their parents or their friends or maybe at their job or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And how stressful it can be and how just loaded it is. And you're just having to announce who you are throughout your whole life. It's a really cool 10-minute piece, but for me, what it really did was it just was so evocative and made me think about how people really just crave acceptance and love. It was powerful.
So much.
Yeah.
That is all we want. And it's so sad that we live in a society that is where when capitalism is... I don't know. When it's a capitalistic society,
yeah,
people benefit off of us feeling not
right.
accepted.
Absolutely.
So all of the thing, the messages, not all, but so many of the messages that we are bombarded with are reinforcing that feeling that we are not accepted or not enough.
You're not enough, yeah.
And that is so sad. And
yes.
is so important to recognize and push back that, like, we have to, I don't know, challenge that and surround ourselves with people who make us feel the opposite.
Yeah, and I, for me, it's a call to action. Like, I just really love making people feel loved mm-hmm. and making them feel seen.
Yes. It's my favorite thing. You do such a good job of that.
Thanks. That's so nice of you to say.
You do. And with all of our listeners and, like, you know, I think it's so great where, like, Susie's like, yes, we're going to send them things. And, like, everybody gets, like, handwritten notes.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I'm signing the card, but Susie's running the show over here and, like, pushing for.
But that, to me, that is such a gift to be able to make somebody feel truly loved and seen.
You do that.
And I love a reminder because when you go out in the world, mm-hmm. people, especially now after the last 2.5 years, are hurting.
Yeah.
Maybe you're hurting, you know?
Yeah.
But an antidote for that, if you are hurting, is to make somebody else feel good. It really
Absolutely.
Is. It's a gift to yourself.
And I want to put a little asterisk on this.
Okay.
Asterisk. Yes. It can't be at the expense of yourself.
No. No, that's why I say it's a gift to yourself.
It is a gift to yourself.
Yeah, just to say hello to someone.
Yeah, it's a connection, and it can be for you.
Yeah.
But also, kind of like when we were talking about a hug a while back.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I think I'm selfish. Like, I think a hug. And you're like, no, you're doing it for both. You know, so everybody feels good. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe. So, like that, like. It's like a win-win.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. It's a real privilege to be able to make somebody feel seen.
How do you do that?
I love to remind myself that everybody is smarter than me about something. I always talk about that. And so I find it to be really fun.
See, guys, this is why Susie's the best and why we have to have a therapist. Do you see what we're working with here? This is amazing.
No, I know that to be true, that every person has information or experience that I don't, and mm-hmm. I really find it fun to try to figure out what that is and to get them to share it with me.
It's so cool.
And you won't believe it. The 7-Eleven cashier or the guy that mows your lawn or whatever, yes. they know more about something than you do.
Absolutely.
But really... That is just a pathway to connection. That's what I want. I want connections with people.
And
that's what humor is. That's what music is. That's what art is.
Because they're universal languages.
Yeah. So those things like get my motor running real bad.
I love that, it. Suze.
Thanks, Sarah. I love you.
So cute. Because you have to have... You have to be able, there's a lot that comes with that to be able to do that for somebody. You have to be humble. You have to be willing to not be an expert in something. You have to be confident in what you know to know that there's still more to learn. Like, it's kind of like that, you know, I know I'm intelligent for I know nothing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to really like, kind of like step back and listen to somebody and let somebody else be in that role. And I think that's hard for people to do.
Yeah.
Especially in Western cultures that are individualistic cultures.
Ugh. So gross.
Right.
You What's know? Wrong with us?
Well.
So many
I don't
things.
Blame capitalism and the patriarchy for most of it.
Yeah, that's a sad situation. We got to make the best of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Samantha, a brainiac, sent me this incredible article. It's in Scientific American.
Mm, love that.
And it was exploring the concept of inherited trauma. real lighthearted piece.
It's a real fucking thing.
It's such a real thing.
It's so... And... We it changes your DNA.
Yeah.
And the fact, like, I'm not saying that casually. I'm mm-hmm. saying that the way that you are hearing it, like, actually literally changes your DNA. And we started to see this in elephants post-Vietnam.
Mm.
And they were like, huh, these elephants are traumatized. I wonder if people are too. Turns out, yep.
So traumatized. And
tell me more.
Well, I think it was saying how with Holocaust survivors, for example,
mm-hmm.
it was talking about their kids and how they often struggle. And we've known that for a while. But for many years, they chalked it up to, you know, parenting.
Right.
That if you've had trauma, right. then you parent different. It affects how you behave in your relationships, of course.
Right.
And that is true. But they did a study on people after 9/11 that were in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a bunch, hundreds of pregnant ladies that were in the study. And so they were able to measure stress hormones, mm-hmm. PTSD, cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that the babies that these ladies had, these people had, at 9 months, they too had lower cortisol. And cortisol is a stress hormone, which you would think it would be higher if you have PTSD, but it's weird. It's a weird thing your body does.
And it's like the coffee.
Yes. Your body's like, oh.
It goes, we're overproducing this sometimes, so we need to underproduce it as a
defense or whatever.
Defense mechanism.
Yeah.
And what that can cause is an inability to recognize red flags.
So those little babies at 9 months had that.
I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, listen, this, people, like, this is, doesn't this just make you put a whole bunch of pieces together about all the stuff we talk about? And it's just like.
Yeah. It doesn't it, though, sometimes, I don't know for you, but for me, sometimes when you get all this information and you see all these things at play and the chemicals and then you inherited it and it's the sperm and the egg and the gestation and the parenting, and you think, how are we going to get a handle on all this? Yeah. Like, it feels, I don't know, you can get fatalistic about it.
Well, it's almost like, you know, I've said this in our book club before, that sometimes, you know, especially in like a not like self-help, but like mental health books, I guess, sort of self-helpy books. They can tell you a lot about what's wrong in the first half of the book. And that can be so overwhelming to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck this. I got to put it away. And then the answer is in the second half of
right.
like, here's what you do.
You quit.
I'm like, oh, right. Before I get the answers. I was so grateful that we read What Happened to You by Oprah and
some dude.
And I feel fine just calling the author that.
Yeah, it's okay. Fine.
You know, because of like history of women everywhere.
Reparations.
So I feel so grateful that we read the rest of that book that talked so much about the importance of emotional regulation and how we can regulate these systems, but we have to be intentional about it. And it's like, a lot of the stuff that we talk about, you know, the same cures for everything on here. Connection, like people
right.
who you could be your authentic self with, time and nature, and mind-body connection and
right.
regulating.
Sleep, nutrition, exercise.
All the same shit.
Yeah, all the same shit.
But those things feel dangerous and scary if you have a trauma background.
Okay, this is what I wanted to get to. This was what blew my mind kind of because I know so little about all this that everything feels like mind-blowing. But it was saying how, okay, so Vietnam veterans, going back to that, were more likely to develop PTSD, but if they'd been abused as children.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So they said that like a shape started emerging that connected
yes.
childhood adversity. And they called it like a period of freeze because a child can't really fight or flee, you know, right. their own home.
Oh, it okay. just grows familiar with it and develops so a...
You have the low cortisol as a result of that childhood trauma, and then you have a higher possibility of future PTSD. Isn't that bonky?
It makes total sense.
It does. Mm. I don't know. But then they wondered, like...
Well, this is the ACEs test. Adverse childhood experiences. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
So there is a test called the ACEs test, ACE test, and it talks about, I have it on my computer, I'm going to pull it up right here. It is a test, or a quiz that tallies up your different, the childhood experiences you had that would be classified as trauma, like abuse, mm-hmm. neglect, household dysfunction, and people who score more than I believe, I can't remember what the number is. It's like if you score like a 4 or more or something on it, then the likelihood of you having PTSD from something else in the future, it goes up exponentially.
Yeah. Your body's already vulnerable. It's kind of like being immunocompromised, but you're like emotionally 100%.
In fact, it does help. It does affect your
immune system.
They're more likely to have heart conditions, like immune disorders, like all this.
Mm-hmm. It was saying too, like the Vietnam vets, they had the lower cortisol, but they had higher adrenaline. And it was saying, like, people who've already endured trauma, their stress systems might be sensitized, and then their cortisol levels are diminished. Increased adrenaline response to further trauma, which then leads to PTSD. It's like a terrible cycle. And I was getting real down in the dumps, but then it said the good news is what they did find, too, is that in gestation, when your mom has trauma, sometimes what can happen is that it creates like almost like a barrier where your body's prepped for trauma.
Yes.
And so you can actually be able to handle it.
Suze.
So that's good.
100%. And you know when you asked me, or maybe I was giving a lecture and they asked me about this. I think that was it. But maybe we've talked about it on here. Why is it that people who have been exposed to trauma in the past are more likely to get re-traumatized?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because your brain recognizes...
Yeah, this is familiar.
Familiar things, even if they don't want them.
It's like the boat on the water.
Yep.
If you've never seen trauma, you almost might be able to ignore it.
Right.
That's interesting. Uh-huh. I'm going to have to unpack that some more.
It's a whole... It's
the article is so detailed, though. I'll have Dahlia put it in the newsletter. Because it's one of those ones where I could read every line. It's called How Parents' Trauma Leaves Biological Traces in Children.
I think it's interesting you mentioned the Holocaust survivors. You know, there's this, oh, well, you know, I just have a Jewish stomach, or like, oh, all people who are Jewish have like IBS. No, you have
generational
trauma.
Not just the Holocaust. That's been fucking going on for thousands
forever.
Of years. Yeah.
It's that. And it's the internalized anxiety like that. Like the feelings that the multiple generations of trauma and the compounding trauma. And when you have an entire population that has, you know, is more likely to experience those kind of symptoms, there we need to look at that. That's something. It's because of this inherited trauma.
If you guys want the articles, the full-length ones, Dahlia puts them in our newsletter, which comes out once a week. We don't send any spam or anything.
Only
you can sign
stuff.
Up on our website. You just put your email in, and she'll add you to the list.
Yes.
Because it is nice to, like, that's why our spinoff show, Things We Got Wrong, is fun and great, because we are doing, like, little bite-sized summaries and bullet points. But sometimes you want to dig into, like, the meat.
Yeah.
So if you want the links, that's the way to get them.
Oh, yes. I'm signed up because sometimes I'm like, where's that article, Susie?
Yeah.
I need to know.
Right. It's so fun. Good.
you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good. So good.
Speaking of trauma, I did watch a TED Talk that somebody had put in their Insta story about how, did you see the one where Polaroid cameras changed domestic violence reporting?
No, it makes total sense because you can get the immediate picture.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nobody has to develop the film for you, so no one else will see it. You can keep it private.
Huh.
And even at like reporting centers, you would go with your black eye or whatever, and they would take a Polaroid and give them to you, so then you could put them in your safe or whatever, keep them for when if you needed them. I love stuff like that.
Me too.
Where technology, because that was the essence of the TED Talk too, was about, you know, we do hear a lot of bad things about technology, but in a lot of ways it has helped women have independence, a connection to the outside world. Because when you have a controlling husband, if you have a smartphone, you have a greater connectivity to the outside world. And the ability to take pictures and all that stuff. So that's the good news about technology.
That is
a really good point. How about this for Bonky, though? In that TED Talk, they talked about how, I forget the official name now of like, maybe it's called the Domestic Violence Act or Violence Against Women Act, I think it was. Mm-hmm. When they originally were trying to get that legislation passed, one conservative congressperson called it the Take the Fun Out of Marriage Act.
Oh!
Yeah.
What?
In 1984. This guy, he said that by limiting domestic violence, you were taking the fun out of marriage.
Are you? Somebody better
this is
fucking
real.
Check on that guy.
This is real. I'm sure he's dead.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. Can you believe?
These are the people who we voted to, like, make our rules?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Unbelievable. But it's just as important today, even though people might not say that. Some people might, but. Dude, probably not a congressperson.
That's gross.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh.
Let's see. Last things.
It should never surprise. These things shouldn't surprise me. But what? They still do.
Well, because no matter how many times we see it, we would never do something like that. We would never say something like that.
Right.
So it's just inconceivable.
Right. That's it. Ugh.
But what else? I read an article about the, well, you might call it the OXO company, but it's actually pronounced OXO. You know that, like.
You mean the one I have the beef with?
For real, Sarah. That's
what
I
remember?
I
don't think I've forgotten.
Tell them about it again.
I know about, okay, this is some fucking bullshit. So. I buy one of these pants that I buy it at the grocery store because I was like in a pinch. I don't know why I don't ever buy pants at the grocery store. I get the pan. That it is not balanced correctly. So when you put it on the stove and you don't have anything in it, tips right over.
Yeah.
So it says on the box, like, We guarantee our products or whatever the fuck it says.
Right. That's the whole point of this article, too, is how they're so great about that.
Yeah. Well, I called them and I was like, WTF, I don't like this. And they said, yeah, no problem. Just send it back to us.
Right.
To this address. Oh, well, are you going to pay for shipping? No, you pay for that. The shipping was more expensive than the pan.
Yeah.
You want me to pay for shipping there and pay for shipping back on the thing that you made improperly? And that, so I just threw it out because fuck that.
I am shocked that that happened, especially after reading this article.
Well, that was my
experience. Wasn't that the customer service rep that was a cat lady? You looked her up on LinkedIn.
Oh my God, that's, No.
Is that a different one?
I didn't look her up on LinkedIn. They sent me a follow-up email. They sent an email of like, how did your call go with blah, 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 Rebecca or whatever her name was. And it was then in the call, it was like, this is who you spoke to. And they gave a bio of her. And in it, it was like, I love cats.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think she was like from Pittsburgh or something. I remember it having a local connection.
I remember this too.
Yeah, Sarah was real mad about it.
And
she's still mad about it.
Yeah, because that kind of stuff doesn't, it feels like false advertising in a way. It feels like you're, in the same way, it's almost like, you know how I don't like things, as you were saying, like that are greenwashed where it's like we're pretending like we're like, you know, environmentally friendly. This is like pretending like you're customer service friendly, but then there's like rules and little like workarounds that make it so you're not really.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's shocking though, because we've talked about this on the show before, the OXO company was developed or created because this guy had a wife who was peeling potatoes and she had arthritis and she was having trouble. So he wanted to make kitchen tools that were usable by almost everybody. And that's such a great mission, and I think they've done a great job of that. Like, even though their products aren't the most beautiful, maybe they're so functional and so useful.
Well, except their small pans.
Except that dang pan. Maybe it was a problem with your stove.
No, nope. I tested this. It was balanced. It was a whole I already went through that.
It was balanced.
It was level. I got out the level.
Well, and they claim that if they have a product that gets a lot of bad reviews, they will change it as a result.
I mean, maybe I should rebuy. Maybe I should buy a new small pan and just see what we've done.
See if they've improved it.
Yeah.
Because they were the people that innovated, you know, the magical. Do you have a salad spinner?
I do.
Yes, is it OXO?
I love my salad spinner. I've got a collapsible one that just fits like
that's fancy.
Nicely in, like it's so nice.
I need a collapsible one because they do take up too much space.
Oh, well, let me put that on the list of things.
Don't, because I already have one, and I do like to help the earth by not replacing things if they're not broken. But
well, when your salad spinner breaks, you let me know.
Okay, probably never will though, because OXO, you guys do a good job with that thing. Oh, they modeled it after those children's tops that you push on. You know.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like you had like the one bad customer service experience with them.
I think you might be right. Yeah.
They could do any of you people listening work for the OXO company, because
we need to, you know.
Because if there was ever somebody you would want to turn around, it's Sarah.
Oh, yeah. And we heard the last episode. I can easily be
right. Like, I feel like they could make this right.
Totally.
It's not too late, you guys. Let's wind it down, Sarah.
Woo! What a good episode. Spent first half an hour, just like getting me through my day.
Stop. That's not true. No, I just don't want to make you cry anymore. I really don't. I want to make you laugh.
No, I needed to.
You needed to cry?
Yeah.
I told Sarah that I'm trying to get Lincoln to be a stand-up comic.
Oh.
And so
I love it.
His first, I want to have like a show here for charity.
Oh, God, this is so cute.
And I wanted him to be the opener, and I decided I was going to make him memorize just like 1 minute of a Ron White sketch. If you're not familiar, Ron White is this guy on the Blue Collar Comedy Tour who always has a scotch and a cigar, and he's like Southern, and it, you know, his whole affect is hilarious. And I want Lincoln to memorize it and basically perform as Ron White. So I'm going to see if I can make that happen.
But he had a really good joke.
He says he wants to develop a joke about how in his Netflix account, it had like suggestions for him. And one was Squid Game. And the other was something called Coco Melon, which is for toddlers. And he wants to know, like, what kind of computer thinks the same person would like Squid Game and Coco Melon.
That's a great joke.
There's maybe something
there. There's definitely stuff in there.
There, you could make something out of that.
Yes, I agree.
So we're working on it. Anyway, I just don't want to make Sarah cry. I want to make her laugh.
Yeah. It's a little bit of both.
Whenever you're camping, do you guys do, like, camp songs like Get Along Little Dogies or anything?
I did force him to listen to me sing the camp song that I sing at camp that's like my song.
Do it.
Well, it's a repeat after me song, so you have to be involved,
oh, okay.
Susie.
I'll do it.
Okay. A repeat after me.
Okay.
Excuse me, Susie, you're already failing. Repeat after me.
Repeat after me.
I said repeat after me.
I said repeat after me.
Flee.
Flee?
Flee, fly.
Flee, fly.
Flee, fly, flow.
Flee, fly, flow.
Vista, vista.
Vista, vista.
Cum laude, cum laude, cum la vista.
Cum laude, cum laude, cum laude vista.
Whoa, no, 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 not the vista.
Whoa, no, 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 not the vista.
Eeny, meeny, yesta, meeny, ooh, I want a meeny.
Whoa. Do that again.
Eeny, meeny, yesta, meeny, ooh, I want a meeny.
Eeny, meeny, yesta, meeny, ooh, I the something meeny.
Eat biddly, oat, boat, bo, boat, shaboat, bo.
Come on.
Is this that's what exactly what he do? Said.
Okay. Are we
so I might
weird?
Be dating Susie.
Is, but the kids know how to do this.
Oh, they love it.
They don't think it's overwhelming.
No.
Wow.
And I've been doing it for so many years, and now they know it's coming, and they love
Link
it.
Link would
and,
love this. You need to
oh,
teach
yeah.
him.
And then it's go, vate, vate, ocho, karate, easy, how would you like a pizza pie?
I like I
the pizza,
love
I like
this
the
song.
Pie, I like the onions, they're making me cry.
This is great. I love it. I just can't do it.
It's so fun. And the kids go nuts. And I have like hand gestures and there's like moves and everything.
No way.
And, oh, yeah. There's
See,
like a full
I love that I'm still learning
thing.
Things about
and
you.
And then like they'll like call me up and like, you know, I'm like the now I'm like the mental health director who just like probably sits in the back and like, you know, because I'm not like a counselor anymore. I'm just kind of like hanging out for the week and then talking to campers and counselors that, you know, need a little help. And then, you know, there'll be one night during the week or a couple times where they'll be like, oh, okay, for campfire, we are going to have Sarah come down and she's going to do the flea oh, fly wow. song. And everybody's like, whoa, you know, and it's
they
fun
love
and
it.
Exciting. And yeah,
I can see why. For years. That's a banger.
Yeah, banger. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's just silly songs with Sarah.
Nice. That could be yeah. your next spinoff.
Right. Silly songs with Sarah.
Remember when that restaurant fell to the
sank
ocean floor? That was yeah. fun. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
But remember when Sarah flew over the handlebars of her bike?
Mm-hmm. Not
that
as
was
fun.
Not as fun.
And then I threw up.
Oh my God.
No bueno.
Yeah. Maybe, Dahlia, you can put the Rap Pioneers article in the newsletter too, because that was yeah. good. That was real yeah. sad. Maybe I'll write to Kid Creole in jail.
Definitely you should.
Yeah.
Sue, cool. for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is good.
And inherited trauma and then wow. great kitchen utensils. We covered a lot of ground.
We sure did. Covered a lot of stuff.
Check out.
I might have to, you know, write a nicer letter to OXO.
Yeah, or like or tweet XO, them and XO, be XO, like, yo, what's up?
Yeah, WTF.
Help a sister out.
Yeah. Look it up.
Check out our merch. And please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. We're so thankful.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.